Welcome to Repros Fight Back, a podcast on all things repro. I'm your host, Jenny Wetter, and each episode I will be taking you to the front lines of the escalating fight over our sexual and reproductive health and rights at home and abroad. Each episode I will be speaking with leaders who are fighting to protect our reproductive health and rights to ensure that no one's reproductive health depends on where they live. It's time for Repros to fight back. Hi, everybody, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Repros Fight Back. I'm your host, Jenny Wetter. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to be having our regular episodes that'll be every other week, along with special bonus episodes that I recorded while I was in Vancouver for the Women Deliver Conference, which is a maternal and reproductive health conference. I was lucky enough to conduct 4 special interviews while I was there, and so we're going to air them every other week against our weekly schedule. So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to go weekly. On this week's bonus episode, I talked to Julia Bunting with the Population Council, and we talk about contraception. Right now, there are a lot of different methods of contraception available on the market, some long-acting, some less so. And it's really important to find the right one that works for you. There are a lot of different benefits and side effects to different methods. And so it's really important to find the one that is the one that fits best in your life at the time. So I talked to Julia about some of the methods that they have already helped create and some of the methods that they are working to create for the future, including multi-purpose prevention technologies, which can prevent both STIs and pregnancy. So enjoy this conversation where we talk about things that you can be expecting coming up soon in the world of contraception. There are a wealth of contraceptive options available today, the pill, the IUD, the implant, but there are still many women and men whose contraceptive needs are not being met. That's why I'm excited to speak with Julia Bunting, the president of the Population Council, about the need to continue developing innovative contraceptive methods and how her organization is leading the charge. Hi, Julia. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So not everybody knows this, but the Population Council has been a leading developer of contraceptive methods for a long time. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what methods you developed and why?
Well, that's exactly right. The scientists at the Population Council's Center for Biomedical Research have been developing innovative contraceptive methods now for more than 60 years. So it was our scientists who, back in the 1950s, before the birth control pill was even available to women here in the US, let alone around the world, developed what we now call the field of long-acting and reversible contraception. Or as I like to say, we conceived the field of long-acting and reversible contraception. So our scientists developed things like the intrauterine device, Paragard. We went on to develop a hormonal intrauterine system, Mirena, used by many of us, and also the contraceptive implant technologies. And so we estimate today that some 170 million women in the world, that's between 20 and 25% of all women using modern methods of contracepting, are using products that were developed by the Population Council or based on our technologies.
That's amazing.
Incredible. And nobody knows.
So there are a lot of methods available to women in the US, but I think there's often people who are not happy with what they have. So can you tell us a little bit of why we need more?
So we know that different women need different methods at different points in their life. And we know that for women around the world, including here in the US, that we are contracepting for possibly 3 decades, for 30 years of our lives. And so we know that we need different methods to meet those needs. Some women don't want hormonal methods. Some women want short acting. Some women want barrier methods. So we need to develop a range of different methods to meet the needs of different women.
There are a lot of choices, and you mentioned that women often, you have different needs over the course of their lives, and you know, you may be unhappy with one. So are there new methods that are coming in the near future?
Absolutely. One of the things that we're most excited about is just last summer, the US Food and Drug Administration approved a new contraceptive vaginal ring that we've developed. It's a ring called Annovera. And what's exciting is that it provides women with more choice, more convenience, and more control. What's exciting about Annovera is that it provides a full year of protection against unintended pregnancy, but a woman can remove it and insert it of her own. So she doesn't need to go to a doctor to get it inserted. She doesn't need to go to a pharmacist to get a resupply every month. And we think it's a really needed method that will give women, as I said, the choice, the convenience, and the control that we know that women want.
that's a big change, because like the rings right now are only for a month.
That's correct.
And wearing my advocate hat. So thinking in the developing context, do they need to be refrigerated?
No, and that's, again, the methods that we develop are really aimed at women around the world. And we obviously get them approved by the US Food and Drug Administration. They are made available here to women in the US. But we also develop it with the mindset of we need to make this available to as many women around the world as possible. So what's exciting about Annovera compared to other vaginal rings that are on the market is that it doesn't require refrigeration, doesn't require cold chain. So it's particularly helpful in low resource settings.
That's wonderful. I know that's something that's really needed right now. And you have a lot of women in developing countries who don't have a lot of method mix that they are able to use. And so it's exciting to have some new ones that might be really useful.
Yeah,
for them.
I mean, we're excited about getting the existing products that we have available to women around the world, continuing to adapt those and to make them more usable, more accessible, and also to develop new technologies that meet the needs that we know women have today.
Yeah, I think that's really important. As we've talked about, like, often people need different ones over the course of their lives, and being able to go to the doctor or the clinic and being able to get the one that's right for you. In so many places, that's not the case. You get what is in stock, particularly when you're thinking of developing countries. Like, they might not have a full range of contraceptives. So one, getting the ones that already exist there and stocked, but also having new options that are useful for women is really important.
And absolutely. And I think that's what's so exciting about having developed the field of long-acting and reversible contraceptives, is that once you have that method, you don't have to worry about the resupply. Mm-hmm. And so what we see around the world is women who have chosen to take a method, who have had a method, and then when they go back to the pharmacy or to the healthcare provider, that method is stocked out. And the consequence of not having that available the next time you need it is that you find yourself unintentionally pregnant. And so the field of long-acting reversible contraception has really been a game changer, that you don't need to keep visiting the health provider, you don't need to risk stock out, but also you're not spending time, and a lot of time, walking to clinics, waiting in clinics to get that method. And I think Annovera, as this one-year contraceptive vaginal ring, really provides an alternative method that gives that same freedom, that same control, but fully under a woman's control.
Yeah, and I think that's also a really important point. Like, we think in our lives, like, the pharmacy, like, right now we're sitting in a hotel room and there's a pharmacy, like, literally right across the street. And so people don't necessarily, it doesn't occur to them that, particularly in a developing country context, like, women are having to walk a long way or travel a long way to get to a clinic. And so not having what she wants when she goes is a huge problem, because she might not be able to go back anytime soon.
And it's not just in the developing world. I actually wrote a piece for Ms. Magazine last year. As a European, as a Brit, I've been used to being able to have these methods available when I want them, and to have the numbers of methods and the availability that I've needed. And what shocked me when I first arrived in the US and I needed to use birth control pills for a short period of time is that I was only being given 1 month at a time. Mm-hmm. And so having to, even myself living in Midtown Manhattan, the pharmacy was one block away, having to go out in my lunchtime and queue, and then to be told that I couldn't have them because I hadn't finished my existing cycle. Yeah. Was an absolute shock. I wasn't used to that. So it's not just in the developing world. We know that those issues are also constrained here in the United States.
Absolutely. And also sometimes by distance as well. You know, I grew up in rural Wisconsin, so the closest pharmacy was not down the block. It was having to go 15 minutes into town. And while that's, you know, a scale different, there are places that are much further away than where I grew up that really have to travel even within the US.
Absolutely.
So long-acting methods can really be a game changer for a lot of women. Okay, so when can women start getting an Annovera?
So our hope is that it will be available here in the United States towards the end of this year or early next year.
That's exciting.
It is. We can't wait.
So now we're going to talk about what I often refer to as the great white whale. I feel like it's one of those things that I always hear is 5 years away. We're 5 years out. There's going to be a new male method in 5 years. And it's been since I started working at Population Institute when I've been paying attention to this. That's 11 years now. So 5 years has not happened.
And it's still at least 5 years out.
So what has held us back from having another effective contraceptive method for men? And can we expect one in the near future or in the future?
So I think there are many reasons why we don't yet have an effective male contraceptive for men. We do have methods, of course. We have condom and we have vasectomy and we have withdrawal and we have abstinence, which are not great options, of course. But I think there are many reasons. There's obviously the biological reasons. Women and men's reproductive biology is very different. The challenges of preventing the production of one egg versus billions of sperm are very different. There's also the sort of societal challenges about whether men would want a method, whether women would want men to use a method. And then there are just the sort of the timeline that it takes to develop this. We've been in this game for more than 60 years. We know it takes an enormous amount of time and investment to deliver and develop products. So it's all of those things. And there's just not the funding to do it. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest constraints that we see. There are very few people who are investing in the research and development of new contraceptive technologies for women or for men.
It is one of those things that you hear it and like there's like excitement that builds that there's going to be a new male method, and then it you don't hear anything about it again for a couple of years, and then it's like five more years.
But of course, as you know, I mean, we launched a clinical trial, a phase 2B clinical trial, just at the end of last year here in the United States and in several other countries around the world through this year, which is testing a novel new contraceptive gel for men. This is a really exciting development that combines nesterone, which is the chemical entity actually in the contraceptive vaginal ring that contributes to sperm suppression. And we've combined it with testosterone, which will deal with some of the side effects that have derailed previous attempts to develop a male contraceptive. So we're currently enrolling 400 couples around the world in this clinical trial, which is to test the safety and efficacy of this new contraceptive gel. And it's developed and generated an enormous amount of interest and conversation, both within the community, but also just in the general public, as these trials have been launching, I say, initially here in the US and earlier this year in the United Kingdom and in other countries. It's generating a lot of discussion and a lot of conversation, which is important, I think, in hoping to create the market and the excitement for the fact that we do need more methods for women and for men.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, too, is the market, right, is whether there's going to be a big increase in men who are interested in using it and women who want their partner to use it.
And I think it's both. And certainly from the Population Council's perspective, we see it very much as one way in which we can truly start to address gender equality. If the responsibility for contracepting is seen as something that is a woman's responsibility, I think we're always going to find gender equality being challenged. But I also think, and we know, that men also want to control their own reproductive lives. Men don't always want to become fathers, and so they also have their own reproductive needs, often separate from a woman's needs. But the ability for men and women to be able to share that responsibility for parenthood, I think, is something that we're really excited about. And again, to give men their own control, but also to give women other options where they don't have to take that responsibility all for themselves.
And I think that's such an important shift in the conversation, because it has been the woman's responsibility for so long, and is often really, I think back to my sex ed, and you know, was very much abstinence only based, but you know, it's on her, right? Yeah. It's on your responsibility to say no. And I think that has really kind of carried for a very long time. So it would be really an important change in the conversation about men also taking control of their reproductive future.
And men want to have that control. We've seen from the social science research that we've done that there are millions of men around the world who want to have their own control for this.
Is there any chance we're going to see a product on the market anytime soon?
So the trial that we've just started, as I said, is a phase 2B clinical trial that we're doing with partners. It's supported by NIHCD. So it's going to be at least 2022 before we see results from that trial. And then obviously we've got further trials to do after that. So we're probably still 5 to 10 years away from actually having a product in the marketplace, assuming that this trial continues in the way that we hope that it will.
So it's nice to hear things are being tested and it's moving forward, even if it is still ubiquitous 5 years away. And so right now, looking at everything that's happening in the US, but also globally, it's really kind of an uncertain time around reproductive health. And So what do you see that meaning for the future of contraceptive care?
So I'm an optimist by heart, and I think when we look at the development of contraceptive or biomedical research and development, this is a long game. I mean, the development of Annovera took us 20 years from the idea through to having a product approved and hopefully available in the marketplace later this year. So we very much play the long game, and we know that the politics changes, we know that the funding environment changes, and we know what's needed. And so we continue to do science, we continue to use evidence, we continue to ask people about what they want and what they need, and we continue to develop products to meet those needs, because we know no matter what the politics is saying, women, men and young people want the ability and deserve the right to be able to control their own reproductive health.
That's interesting, and maybe a little bit of a sidetrack we can go down. So what have you been seeing that people are saying they want?
We know that women, men and young people want a range of different methods. As we said earlier, different women in particular need different methods at different point in their lives. And I think it's both about developing not only sort of individual contraceptive products, but work that we're also doing that I'm really excited about in developing what we call multi-purpose prevention technologies.
You read my mind. I was actually just going to ask you about that. I think that's one of the things you don't hear about in a U.S. context as much as part of the conversation, but I know it's something we talk about a lot in the global side. So can we maybe talk a little bit about what do we mean when we talk about multi-purpose prevention technology?
So multi-purpose prevention technology is a concept that describes a single product that addresses, as we say, more than one indication. So the kind of holy grail of an MPT, as we call it, would be a product that prevents unintended pregnancy, also against HIV, would prevent something like human papillomavirus, the virus that causes cervical cancer, and things like herpes simplex virus. So it's about having the drugs that you need in a delivery system, whether it's in a vaginal ring or a microarray patch or a fast-dissolving insert that can provide protection against two or more of those indications. And we're excited about some of the work that we're currently doing to develop what will hopefully be the first multi-purpose prevention technology on the market, which is combining an existing oral contraceptive pill with an existing oral pre-exposure prophylaxis that would prevent against HIV. So we're doing some work at the moment. It was just announced at the International Conference on Family Planning in Kigali in Rwanda at the end of the last year that the Children's Investment Fund Foundation in the UK is supporting us to do the development of this product.
That's great news. And for some reason, I think I did not hear that. So that's extra exciting.
Well, we're happy to share information about that because it is a really exciting and a much needed development. And we're doing this in this way with, say, the sort of two oral pills in order to be able to create a market and test the demand for it. But ultimately, we can imagine that you would want to provide those drugs in different formulations and through different delivery systems, I say, through a vaginal ring or through an implant, fast-dissolving inserts. And I think it's a really exciting opportunity to provide a single product that meets the needs of women in a single way. I mean, I think we see too often that our roles and our needs are divided. And we've heard a lot about that this week here at Women Deliver, is women's lives aren't siloed. We don't want HIV prevention on Monday and contraception on Tuesday and other things on Wednesday. We need those things to live our real lives. And so the chance to develop products that meet women's real lives is a really exciting opportunity.
Yeah, and it's so important because we do often talk about it in a siloed way. We talk about, you know, HIV as its own thing, and there's the integration conversation is happening better.
Absolutely.
than it has in a very long time. But there are complications as well with things like the global gag rule that are preventing how it's being delivered on the ground. So it's great to see projects that are moving forward to try and come up with these multi-purpose prevention technologies that are coming and bringing everyone's lived experience together in one place so that you can not only prevent pregnancy, but also maybe prevent HIV.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we always like to end our conversations in a place of hope, but you know what? This conversation was actually one of the more hopeful conversations I've had, because normally we're talking about terrible policy or restrictions or all these other things that are happening. So talking about new methods is actually a really positive and really exciting conversation. So I think that's really important. So let's take a minute for hopeful, positive conversations in the chaos. But also, we always love to talk about what can listeners do. So what can listeners do? What action can they take to help you guys?
I think the most important thing people can do is to share their views on what they want. As funding decisions are made about what to invest in and what not to invest in, we need to hear voices from people who are using these products. We actually have a survey that we've been out on the website for about the last year or so that's literally asking women, what do you want? What methods do you want? What different needs need to be met? So I'd love to be able to share that with you and maybe have you put a link out for us so that we can hear real people's real voices about what they want. And then we can use that to advocate for meeting those needs.
Absolutely. We'll make sure to share the link on social, but we also put it in our show notes. So that way all of our listeners can let you know what they want.
Fantastic. Well, that's what we need to hear.
Great. Well, Julia, thank you so much for doing this. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks, Jenny. It's been a pleasure.
For more information, including show notes from this episode and previous episodes, please visit our website at reprosfightback.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at reprosfightback. If you like our show, please help others find it by sharing it with your friends and subscribing, rating, and reviewing us on iTunes. Thanks for listening.